Welcome to our second session on the history of dispensationalism. And today we're going to look at some early examples of godly men in ages past that recognized a system of ages and a difference in administration in God's program in several ages through history. And this information is available in lots of different sources. I resourced several different books, but it's just a brief history of the earliest record of dispensational teaching. So, now, we noted last time that a major argument against dispensationalism has always been, if it's new, it can't be true. So today what we want to see is that it really isn't new. It's been in the Bible all along. And right from the beginning, there were some early church fathers that saw various ages in God's program. And this goes way back to the first few centuries in the early church. Justin Martyr, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Methodius, and others noticed that there were different administrations, different stewardships, different economies throughout history in which God dealt with mankind differently, and that's basically the essence of dispensational theology. Now, that's not to say that these men had dispensational theology all systematized. They were not dispensationalists, as we would say today, but they saw these basic elementary truths of dispensationalism in the scriptures way back in the early centuries of the church. Now, they didn't all agree on the exact number of dispensations. That's not really essential to dispensationalism, exactly how you cut the pizza, how many dispensations there are. And they didn't understand all the nuances that we understand from a refined form of dispensationalism today, but they did see various economies, various administrations in the way that God dealt with mankind through the ages. And one man, Larry Crutchfield, noted that the early church fathers' views on Israel and the church, and that was an important part of dispensationalism. He noted that they distinguished between the church and national Israel. That is vital. That's a crucial part of dispensationalism. So these early church fathers recognized that. Some of them also recognized distinctions between the different peoples of God, Israel, church age saints, etc. And some of them believed in a literal fulfillment of the kingdom. They did believe that those kingdom promises all throughout the Old Testament, that God would one day fulfill those promises that he made. And again, all of those are real key factors in dispensational thinking. He also noted that the contemporary dispensational position on Israel and the church is actually a refinement and not a contradiction to the views of the anti-Nicene church. In other words, in the first few centuries of the church, these men saw these truths, and modern dispensationalism doesn't contradict them. It's not a different system. It's just a refinement of what they saw in the Bible way back then in those early years of the church. Reynolds Showers noted that the first person on record to develop a genuine dispensational scheme or schematic in a systemized fashion was the French philosopher Pierre Poiret, I guess. My French is a little rusty. And in his work, now listen to the title of this book. They really liked long titles for their books in those days. The book was entitled The Divine Economy, or A Universal System of the Works and Purposes of God Towards Men Demonstrated. So that was the title of his book. And In it, he developed a scheme of seven dispensations covering the scope of scriptures and history, just like modern-day dispensationalists do. Same number, even. And this work was published in 1687, not long after the Reformation. So it's not really true that the Reformers saying what they did in the 1500s and into the 1600s was historic, but 100 years later or so, this is something new. That's kind of a hollow argument. Now, some of the key leaders that are noted in those days, many of them were Puritans, just after the Reformation, some names that we're all familiar with. And some of these men, even though they were not dispensational, they were clearly Puritans, they were Reformed, no question about it. But one man, Isaac Watts, we know him as a hymn writer. He was also a theologian. He was a pastor and a poet and a hymn writer. And he was a member of the nonconformist group, the independent nonconformists. Sometimes they were called dissenters or separatists. They would be like the independent fundamentalists of today. And they were very similar to the Pilgrims. That was their background as well. And he wrote some wonderful hymns. And by the way, it's a good idea to have a hymn writer also be a theologian and to be in tune with what the Bible says so that the words match scripture. Always a good idea. Some of the hymns we're all familiar with. When I survey the wondrous cross, am I a soldier of the cross? O God, our help in ages past and joy to the world. Everybody knows that one. Well, he also wrote a 42-page essay entitled, and this is another long title. The title of this essay was "The Harmony of All the Religions Which God Ever Prescribed to Men and All His Dispensations Towards Them." So that was the name of this booklet. And in his booklet, he outlined these dispensations that he meant. He even used that word. And the first dispensation he called innocence, exactly like dispensationalists today. The second dispensation he called the Adamic dispensation. We would call that conscience. The third dispensation he called Noahic. We would refer to that as the human government. And then the fourth was the Abrahamic dispensation. We would call that the age of promise, where God made promise to Abraham and to his descendants. And then the next one was the Mosaic dispensation, which we would call law. And the sixth was the Christian dispensation, which we would call the church age. So far, it's the same. But he didn't include kingdom. He was Reformed, and he didn't recognize a literal kingdom to come and blurred that together with the church. But you do see, he recognized six of the seven dispensations that we hold to today. Another well-known man who was also certainly not known as a dispensationalist. He wasn't. He was Reformed. He was in that Puritan era. Jonathan Edwards. And he was a preacher and a theologian. He was also a missionary to Native American Indians. And he was one of the greatest intellectuals in the early days of this country. And he obviously was Reformed, and he defended Reformed theology. He was from the Puritan heritage, no question about that, but God used him in a great way. He played a critical role in the Great Awakening, what's called the First Great Awakening, out in Northampton, Mass., out in kind of in central Massachusetts. And he wrote that famous sermon, or he spoke that famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God." And he was involved in that revival in the early 1700s in Massachusetts, and it was not long after the George Whitefield came along and was touring the colonies. Well, Edwards, he was a president of a college, and the College of New Jersey, that was later renamed, we know it better as Princeton, So he was a well-known figure in those days, used greatly of God, a great intellectual, a great theologian in many ways. But he also wrote an outline of the dispensations that's virtually identical to that which dispensationalists use today. And let me just share it. The first one he called innocency, same thing that dispensationalists call it. The second dispensation he called sin and misery. And we would refer to that dispensation as conscience. And then he did something a little different. His third Roman numeral in this outline of the ages was reconciliation, and he had the rest of the dispensations under reconciliation. So we had the innocence in the Garden of Eden, then the fall and the misery, the man didn't do well just with the conscience, and then he had God's beginning of reconciliation. And under that, he listed the patriarchal age, which we call promise, the age of the promises that God made to the patriarchs. Then the Mosaic, we call it the law. And then he did something a little different. He had these Gentile and Christian were kind of separated. We would just put them together and call that the church age. And then he delineated the church age and he broke it down into the early church, the childhood period, which is what he called the present period, and then the future, the kingdom age. So he didn't list the kingdom age as a separate dispensation, rather almost like a fulfillment of the church age. So, but he included all seven of the dispensations that dispensationalists adhere to today. So yes, it is true that dispensationalism was not formally systematized until the 1800s. That's true. But theologians back in the second century and ages to follow, they saw that God dealt with mankind differently in different time periods. They recognized different stewardships, different economies, different administration of the Lord handling the affairs of men on earth, just like dispensationalists do. And that's the essence of what a dispensation is. It's a stewardship with God being the administrator. And by the 1600s, by the way, not an awful long time after the Reformation, there were men who were recognizing the exact same seven dispensations that most dispensationalists today recognize. So even some of the Puritan writers that we mentioned, Isaac Watts and Jonathan Edwards, these men who were clearly Reformed couldn't help, they were honest men, they couldn't help but see that God did administer his affairs on earth differently in different ages. And they recognized that. They gave them different names. They didn't always name them the same thing that we do today. That's irrelevant. They recognized the essence of that dispensational distinction. And just by reading scriptures, they couldn't help but notice that there are clear differences in different time frames. So the whole point in this short little video is just to note the old saying, if it's new, it can't be true. Well, that does not apply to dispensational truth because it really isn't new. It's been in the Bible over 2,000 years, and in my books, 2,000 years isn't new. God's truth is timeless. And so there were men that recognized this right from the early days of the church, that early church. And what we're teaching today as dispensational theology is not different from that. It's just a refinement. Theology gets refined over the years. And that's what the Reformers did too. They refined their theology. So if it's not new, it can't be true, does not apply to dispensationalism.